the pod booth.
You guys look so thrilled to be here.
I'm so glad. Thank you. You truly, the energy is out of the world.
I'm sorry, I was chewing.
Guys, I have resigned from my previous post, and I'm now back to making podcasts full time.
It's true. Woo! Previously, I have stated in the podcast that I beat L in Trial by Combat. And now they're back because we've, you know.
A second trial?
We've made up. We've gotten over it,
even though I brutally defeated you and took your place as producer, and you went on to do better things. And
that's awesome.
That is what happened in chronic canon. That is how it went down.
Actually,
you
don't
sound bitter at all. I'm just kidding.
It's been so long since I've been in the booth.
Yeah, but how does it feel to be back?
Pretty awesome. We are kind of missing someone. I can't put my finger on who exactly that is, but I'm just feeling a presence is missing.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's like some blonde guy who really likes birds, but he's not here.
Oh.
Sad. Anyway, welcome to another episode of Can of Worms.
It again here with some very special guests. We've filled up the booth this time for you.
We've got our overall boss, editor-in-chief, Margot Reynolds. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Margot. I'm a senior studying biology and medical anthropology and a bunch of other stuff. And I'm the editor-in-chief of the Crony this year. I used to be the copy director, so I haven't like written a lot of things that you can go read, but I've read everything that we've produced in like the last 3 years, so that's awesome.
And next up, if you would like to introduce yourself.
Hi guys, my name is Mary Ellen. I also work at the Chronicle. I'm our design director. I also dabble in photography and now podcasting, so I'm a triple threat. Anything else?
Design, photography, podcasting, that's the...
Nothing relating to news, actually.
Can you sing a little song for us?
Do you have any requests?
No, just whatever.
Outside by George Michael.
Ooh, I don't know that one. I don't know it off the top of my head. I can do George Michael, though.
Amazing.
Are we going to be allowed to keep this in?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Tonight the music sings so loud. I wish that we could lose this crowd. There's more where that came from. If you hit my line after you listen to this. I'm just kidding. That won't get copyrighted because it bears no resemblance to the original song.
Fun fact about Mary that the audience might not know is she actually designs like most of our podcast designs, like like 90%.
Have you done all of our specific?
I took over this last spring.
So previous to that, Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney used to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out, Sydney. I doubt you're listening to this because I know you have better things to do, but if you are listening to this, I love you.
Okay. all four of our listeners are very dedicated.
Literally. Sydney, if you're one of them, I love you.
So what gathers us all here today in the podcasting booth?
Say it with me on three. One, two, three.
Soda!
Yes, we are here to talk about soda shops and the sort of culture and the billions of them that there are here in Utah.
Mm.
Yeah. How are you guys soda people?
You could say that, yeah.
Honestly, before moving here, no. And then I moved here, and now I feel like I drink an insane amount of soda.
That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm from Seattle, and I feel like people just don't drink as much soda there as they do here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, could you maybe enlighten us about where you work?
I am not going to name the soda shop, but I do happen to work at one. This is actually the second and a half soda shop I have ever worked at. Mm-hmm. And yes, I know what you're thinking. A college student who still works at a soda shop. And I answer you this. There are a lot of us, okay? We're just silent. But... no, I do work at a soda shop. I've also been born and raised in Utah my whole life. And while I'll be honest, the rise of soda and the whole Utah culture around of it is fairly recent. It is something I have had the weird, opportunity of observing. I remember in eighth grade, I could barely drink a can of Dr. Pepper, and look at me now. Wow.
We've come so far, a little foreshadowing for
all,
how much.
Not for the best, but, you know. Yeah.
I think as someone who comes from out of state, coming here and then seeing that there is literally, like, a drive-through place where you can get a little soda treat.
Or a big one.
It's jarring.
They're
a
rather
little bit.
I would say they are rather large soda treats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I moved here, and I would say that I drink less soda now.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That might be for other reasons. I just am like, I'm going for other stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to be.
I'm trying new things.
I'm trying to quit.
So real. But yeah, I guess that's why me and Margo were like, you know, it would be, and I've had this one on the pitch document for a very long time, actually, ever since I began my tenure, as you could say, in podcasting at the Crony.
It's been on the top of the list, I think.
It's literally been on the top of our pitch document.
That might be the very first one that we came
It was. I was like, I need to do a solo
episode. And then immediately we were like, nah, we like shrimp instead.
Yeah,
and
literally.
Like burritos and D&D and anything else that's
literally
not soda shop.
Anything else. But today we have gathered to ask the question, why? Why are there soda shops in Utah?
And which is the best?
And which is the best? Because that's really important to the story, honestly.
That is true.
I love to rank things. What can I say? I love a tier list. Mm-hmm. I love giving things 1 out of 5 stars or like 1 to 5 on the scale.
Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful.
I love a pyramid. What can I say?
Mm-hmm.
And we love to rank things. And then tell you, our wonderful listeners, what we think.
So you don't have to waste your time.
So you don't have to waste your time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But please do, because each of these stops was a wonderful experience.
If you have time and money that is getting comps to go buy hundreds of sodas, then you should do it. Yeah.
Wish you could see the cup waste.
Maybe. Maybe our cover photo is just a photo of
clearly not a design.
For the first time in Can of Worms history, we'll be actually including pictures in the show notes for this episode, because I have like 4 pictures of like 50 cups of soda on top of Margo's car.
Yeah.
So I feel like the public needs to see that.
Because how many places do we stop?
Six.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
6 times 4, you do the math. It was a lot of soda in there, okay?
Plus pretzels. Well, so first, we had everyone pick a drink to get at every place. So I had Dr. Pepper with raspberry and coconut cream.
I was Diet Coke with lime.
I was just kind of any Mountain Dew drink with some sort of fruit puree in it.
And I was any energy drink that had Mountain
Monster.
Or man or monster, you get it. Which really, in retrospect, was a bad idea. Because I'm not an energy drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And so it ruined me.
Yeah.
Your energy level, like, actually noticeably changed throughout the car ride.
There was an active dip. Yeah. I came back up.
Uh-huh.
There was a point where I was having cold sweats.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did have the privilege. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
I had the privilege of sitting next to Cambria during this drive, and she was vibrating the entire time.
It's true.
She was shaking, and she did wait 3 drinks in to let us know that she doesn't usually drink caffeine that often.
You know, energy drinks specifically, I can do caffeine pretty well.
Yeah,
but I should have, you know, waited until I tried to quit. Until after this, you know.
Yeah. No, listen, it was awesome.
It was a great time.
It was awesome.
I had a good time.
I wouldn't take any of it back.
My body didn't have a good time, but I would do anything for content. Anyway, let's get into it.
Let's talk about our first shop that was on our route.
Okay.
The classic, the iconic.
The original.
The original.
Swig.
I have a brief history of Swig.
Oh my god!
Oh, incredible.
Another fun fact about Margo that I think the audience should know is she loves Wikipedia.
Oh my gosh! And she should.
Okay.
Are you an editor on Wikipedia?
No, I'm working up the courage to make my first edit.
This is so
exciting.
Can
you tell us what your editing niche would be if you were a Wikipedia editor?
People's personal lives.
That's great.
Like celebrities.
If you ever do have the courage to, will you come guest star on our podcast again?
Yeah.
Margo, can you give us a brief rundown of Swig's history?
So in 2010, a woman named Nicole Tanner and her husband opened the first swig store. It was in St. George, Utah, which is like a little bit more deserty. And she said she opened it because she liked going to Sonic for drinks, but she didn't like having to wait in line behind people who were ordering food because it takes longer. So she opened the first soda-only store and opened a second one also in St. George in 2011. And then over the next couple of years, they expanded into Idaho, Oklahoma, Texas. And then in November 2022, they sold the company to the Larry H. Miller Company.
Wait, Larry H. Miller owns Swig?
Yeah, that's
Swig
why
too?
That's why the Megaplex has them, because it's the Larry H. Miller
Are
Megaplex.
You serious?
So it's a majority stake. So the other, it's also, I got out of order. So she found it in 2010. Then in 2011, they opened the second store. In 2017, Nicole Tanner sold the store to a restaurant management firm. Mm-hmm. And then they expanded after that into Idaho, Oklahoma, and Texas. And right now, they have 53 locations in...
Jeez.
I guess in... I know they have some in Arizona, so in several states. And it says right now they have 250 new locations planned. And they just according to Wikipedia, the most recent expansion was into San Antonio, Texas, with three locations.
Dang. Are they primarily... You said Oklahoma, but they're primarily, like, southwestern United States?
It's mostly, like... Utah and states touching Utah, but they're slowly expanding into areas with high Mormon populations, to be totally honest. Like people who grow up in the Utah area and move out. And then, like, I know Gilbert, Arizona has one, and that area has a really high LDS population. It's people who like getting a dirty soda when they're at home. And so it's successful there because people already like it.
As a, Mary, as a like soda shop expert elite employee, what would you say your perception of people who primarily go to soda shops is there like a demographic that they hit?
All the stereotypes about, the the moms who like to come through and get a giant Diet Coke for breakfast in the morning. I would say there's a lot of truth to them. But there's also a lot of dads too, to be fair, that they tend to drink more Mountain Dew, which is funny. But also there are people there, I would say over the years, I am cringing that I can even say that. The demographic is expanding because that's something I noticed when I got to the U2, and it was the first time I'd been surrounded by kids who didn't grow up here. They were all like, why would anyone drink that much soda, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I'm 3 years in and they're all doing the same thing, which is funny. And they all own like Stanley's now, if you know what that is, like the big giant Stanley mugs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's like, I remember I brought one of those to class and one girl told me it looked like I was carrying a tank around, and we were just bonding over Stanley colors the other day, actually. So anyways, I'm just saying it's interesting to see people kind of get engulfed in Utah culture through something like soda. But yeah, I would say it's a lot of people who are Mormon. Most of the people in the area of the shop I work in are Mormon. Anyways,
That answers.
Okay, beautiful.
That answers. Me personally, before I moved here, I had no idea what a Swig was.
Mm-hmm.
And even like when I would visit family here before I came to school, I still didn't know what a Swig was.
Because
I wasn't like actively looking for soda shops and nobody brought them up to me. And, my perception was based on, like, the TikToks I would see where it was, like, the Mormon mom. And she would be like, when you go after church to the Swig and you see four other people from your ward getting a Diet Coke with lime, too, and she looks embarrassed. That's my perception of a Swig.
Okay, that's actually so true. There's a gas station. I won't name this one either. I don't know. I just feel weird about it. But there's a gas station that has locations all around the neighborhood, and there's like plenty of them within the same, whatever, 5 square miles. And they happen to have limes that you can put in your drink, which isn't something that like a normal gas station has, which is the appeal of a place like Swig or any other soda shop. You can get fix-ins. And some gas stations have gotten smart and kind of added that amenity to their fountain area. So on a day like Sunday, where literally every soda shop is closed, you can go to any gas station ever and it will be full of people in their church clothes, filling up their 44-ounce tumblers or whatever, and getting their Diet Coke fix for the day. And it's hilarious to me. It's like genuinely a mob meeting in there of Mormons. It's awesome.
That's crazy. I would agree with you. When I first moved here, not only did I not know what soda shops were, no one would tell me. And I'd be like, hey, what's Swig? And I'd be like, oh my gosh, Thirst. And they'd keep bringing up like the different names that are all very adjacent to each other.
Yeah.
And at some point I just gave up trying to figure it out until one of my friends was like, we're going to get a treat. And I said, what does that mean? And we drove through and I was like, I saw the menu and I said, this is crazy. It's just sort of syrup.
It's soda with syrup, and then sometimes they have pretzel bites, which was my personal favorite part of our entire expedition, was eating so many pretzel bites.
So many pretzel bites.
Pretzels were great.
The thing that most of them have, though, is like the classic like sugar cookies.
Yeah.
We like, didn't do that's the sugar what,
cookies. When Swig first started, I think that they were just like literally just soda and sugar cookies, because my grandparents have a house in St. George and we would go there sometimes, and so and my younger sibling like got obsessed with Swig when we went there one time, probably around 2010. And they used to have like a blended chai tea drink that was like so good, but they got rid of it after like maybe 2 years. I miss my blended chai every time I go to Swig because it was really good.
I love a classic iconic Swig, you know, like the naming convention of like some sort of drinking verb. Swig,
thirst,
fizz.
quench.
There's quench in Provo. We did not go to a quench.
I've never heard of quench.
I think it's new.
Yeah.
Is it cool?
It was pretty good. They had a bingo game.
Swig was first on our little road trip, which, by the way, we started, what time did we start? We started at like 7 in the morning.
Yeah, I picked you up at like 7:30.
Yeah, I got picked up at 7:30 from my humble abode.
And this was in an effort. This was in an effort to try and miss some of the lines that we were expecting.
Yeah, which, by the way, we didn't really run into any. I think maybe like...
Because it was a Saturday.
I think it was because it was a Saturday, and then also like there's just so many soda shops around that maybe like a couple years ago the lines were more of an issue, but now there's like 400 to choose from.
Yeah. And you put together a masterful route, Margo. Yeah, so,
Margo,
you
know, did do a great
fantastic
job.
Fantastic driver extraordinaire.
Literally.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
But yeah, first stop Swig. Then we stopped at Splash.
Oh,
which
Splash.
Incredible.
Was
iconic.
Iconic.
Not like other girls.
No.
Amazing.
Splash wasn't like other
we
girls.
We pulled up to Splash and we were like, is this a car wash? And the answer was yes. It was a car wash. But it was also part soda shop. So we pulled up to this drive-through window and then we literally could just like see inside this, like, it was like a convenience store slash like auto shop.
You mean Splash Auto Shop?
Splash Auto Shop. And I think this one was particularly memorable because they gave Cambria an entire monster with some sort of pomegranate juice in it. And it was like radioactive.
It glowed in the dark.
It did.
Imagine a neon pink highlighter in a cup with a lime in it.
Literally.
And it's what I put in my body.
And it tasted like that too, but in a good way.
In a good way.
I really did like the pomegranate.
I would have to say, I do remember this one specifically because I ordered, I don't remember exactly what I ordered, but I ordered Mountain Dew. And Mountain Dew has like I love a Mountain Dew Baja Blast moment. You can still tell that it's Mountain Dew in the base, you know? I drank this Mountain Dew and I could not tell. I could not tell you that it was Mountain Dew. It could have been any sort of, like, there was just so much syrup in it, I could not tell what was going on.
They chefed.
Literally.
I also think Splash took the longest.
It did take the longest.
We didn't time anybody. But that one, it felt like we were waiting for.
We did spend the most time.
We were waiting there. Well. We were like,
we should have gone through a car wash.
We were absorbing our surroundings.
Yeah, it's attached to a car wash and a gas station. Yeah. And according to our advisor, Josh, it's a really good car wash. Worth the expense.
Mm-hmm. I'll say it though, when Margo said that Splash was on the route, I was like, Margo, what are you talking about?
Well, see,
why are we starting at Splash? But I'd like to expand on that thought and say, I'm so glad we did. if I ever find myself in need of anything in that area of town, I will be stopping by again. It was highly unexpected. The Diet Coke was mediocre, but the experience alone, sorry, I spat on you. The experience was excellent.
This one also had, like, fancy nacho cheese with jalapenos in it.
Oh, yeah. Because it was, like, because they had, like, gas station, like, queso going on. But the, like, but the pretzel bites themselves were kind of mid.
They were, those were the ones that were, like, so, like, slippery with, like, butter. They were.
They were flying, kind of dense. They were almost, flying like, out of our hands. It was, like, trying to catch soap in a shower.
That is true.
And, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Splash is its own little deal, right? There's only one Splash.
It's Mom and Pop Shop.
It's Mom and Pop Soda Shop.
Aww.
Yeah, I wanted to pick one that was, like, kind of like a standalone
kinda
type.
Niche.
Just because, like, I feel like Utah also, another piece of Utah culture is, like, copycat culture a little bit.
It's
like,
true.
Like,
yeah.
There's, like, we get Chip, and then we get Crumble, and then all of a sudden there's 30 different cookie places.
And then they're all suing each other because nobody can decide who came first.
Actually, real in 2015, Swig sued SoDelicious for saying their sodas were dirty soda because Swig said that they had it trademarked, and it took 2 years to resolve it, and it was an undisclosed settlement. But Sonic is currently selling drinks called Dirty Soda, so it must not be something that Swig has actually trademarked.
Also, if you're into little treat, little snack Instagram, like I am, I think the Coffee Creamer brand, I don't remember what the name is, I think it's Coffee Mate, has released or is going to release a Dirty Soda, like coconut lime creamer to put specifically in Dr. Pepper.
Wow.
Which, number one, they're stealing Margo's thing. but, like,
truly.
Second, kind of insane.
Vikrani is going to sue.
Listener, if you're listening to this, which I assume you are,
listener,
nothing
if you're
ever
listening.
Will replace a fresh lime, okay? If you're new to whatever, a mix into your soda, don't listen to Coffee Mate. You need the real lime, okay? You can use their coconut cream, though. It's really good.
Have you put coconut cream, like the coffee creamer, in soda before?
I have. In fact, we do that at the shop I work at.
Oh, so it's not.
We have their vanilla cream. We have half and half, and
I see.
We have a coconut cream.
I see.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's pretty much all there is to really say about Splash. It was goofy.
It was goofy.
Goofy.
Go, please try
go support
it.
Splash.
Please try it. If you see Splash on the road at any point, because you're over there, go, please.
So we hit Splash, and then we decided to go back to our roots of the first stop.
Oh, because you have to try out multiple Swig locations.
Because you have to try out multiple Swig.
That's true.
So we went to another Swig, and I remember this Swig had, like, most soda shops don't have, like, a lobby you can, like, hang out in, but this one totally did, and it was kind of, the vibes were a little unsettling for me, a little liminal, because there was just us and the two workers and, like, a fountain soda machine, and, like, that was it.
And the sun was still rising.
Yeah.
They did have, their bathroom smelled amazing.
True.
And there were free tampons in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an absolute win.
I would say every soda shop that has an inside that I've been inside, it's like way too much space for like the number of tables that they have. And then there's never anybody else actually physically inside.
It always feels like, and I don't know, I feel like when I go to another type of like restaurant or like a drive through or like if I somehow step in, I expect it to smell like something.
Mm-hmm.
But soda shops don't smell like anything. Like, if you go to a Dutch Bros, it at least smells like coffee.
Yeah, why doesn't it smell like the cookies?
I know, exactly, right? Kind of on
They don't bake them on site.
Oh my gosh, tea is being spilled on this podcast.
Sorry, I thought that was something everyone knew. They do, most places you'll ever go, do not bake their cookies on site. They're baked off site, and then they come to you frozen.
I did work at a bakery, and... I can confirm, except it was, like, a local bakery, so they just kind of, like, gave us them. But, like, yeah, they come in pre-packed.
They're usually pretty fresh. Don't worry, listener. Don't worry.
Don't worry, dear listener. I wanted to make a bit of an observation about the type of ice that they use at the soda shops, because they all, like, the homemade cubed ice that you could get in your own fridge. No.
Terrible.
Terrible. Mm. Boo snore. 0 out of 10. Bottom of the pyramid. F tier. What you need to properly enjoy a soda drink is the pebble ice. Mm-hmm. I feel like pebble this is a really key component.
Pebble ice is a Utah thing.
It is a Utah thing.
And is it really?
And a Maverick thing.
It is a Maverick thing.
And a Sonic
Maverick
thing.
Is a Utah-based...
And a Sonic thing.
There was nothing really that notable about this swig. It was pretty much exactly like the first swig we went in, except for the addition of the dining area. Do you even call it a dining room?
Yes.
But like a Taco Bell will call their area a dining room. Have you seen that on like the top? It's like,
who's dining at Taco Bell?
Fine dining.
Me. You're scrounging very much.
You're not dining
the
at
IHOP
Taco Bell.
Dining
you're
room
scrounging.
At 3 in the morning.
Please.
Yeah. Anyway, not very notable. Kind of boost nor. We did start getting kid-sized drinks at this point when possible.
We tried.
Because if mm-hmm. we didn't get the kid-sized ones, the normal size is like 16 ounces at mm-hmm. most places.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know about you, but like, I'm not trying to drink a gallon of soda
yes.
a day.
Six 16-ounce sodas.
It was a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
And it also took up less space in the car. And at this point, it wasn't too big of a problem, but I could tell that it was going to become an issue.
There is a couple of epic videos of us panning
around the car,
how many sodas were just, yeah. we just
yeah.
had in there.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. I think I drank most of mine.
Anyway, Boost North, third shop, second swig, meh, whatever. Afterwards, we went to even another shop. How many did we end up going to in total? Six?
There were five different companies, six stores. Different.
The next one we hit was Fizz.
Woo!
I remember the names of the Fizz shop being particularly goofy, but kind of all of the names were really goofy.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. one thing about the shops is it's like they pick a theme for their names. Like, Sodalicious is like movie.
They do.
No,
they...
Thirst is like movie-based usually.
Sodalicious is really banking on the whole Utah thing.
Yeah, like NICMO.
It's almost like they're trying... Yeah, they have, like, the NICMO. They have the Eternal Companion. They have the mother-in-law, the monster-in-law.
Mm-hmm. An amazing thing that I just learned by going on the Fizz website is you can have soda delivered to you.
Ooh.
Which...
Yeah, the other thing about Fizz...
No, I don't think so.
The other thing about Fizz is that at least some of the locations are open on Sundays. Which is special
are they,
for soda shops.
Are they not Mormon-owned? You can also choose dine-in and takeout.
I think they're just, they're aware that it's a huge gap that they can fill.
Yeah.
Because, they're open, like, for shorter time. The other thing that we should probably talk about is that most of these places are open, like, till 10 p.m.
Yeah, they're open
like, people
late.
People go get a soda at, like, 9:45 p.m. Like, that much sugar that late makes it really hard for me to sleep.
We were doing that in high school all the time.
That feels like such a teenage, I don't have anything else to do, so I'm going to go to the soda
That's
shop.
That's also another very Utah thing is that everything closes so early here.
It's true. But everything
there's nothing
does
else
close
to
by
do,
10.
And so by proxy of it being open at 10, it's like, let's go to the one place that's open.
Yeah, mm-hmm. if you're under 21 in Utah and you're trying to find something to do after 10 p.m., it is literally almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to pull up the menu for this one because I remember being particularly embarrassed to order this soda because the name was Chandler Bing for the soda that I'm like...
Oh,
I was like, can I get the small Chandler Bing, and I just felt so silly. Like I felt I feel like the soda names, they're just like trying to make me a little embarrassed while I order
it. The gulp is awesome.
There's one called Xanadu I just found on the website, and there's one called Wet Willy. And if I had to order a Wet Willy, I would not say the name. I would
Can
be
I put
like
44-ounce Wet
Xanadu
Willy.
Xanadu seems more believable to me. Have you guys seen Xanadu?
The
play or movie?
Is that the
musical
is that
movie?
The musical with the skate?
Yeah.
I have heard of it because I love 80s fashion. Anyway, my point is, these are literally the worst names. I'm giving them negative points because of their names. I don't know how, like, people can go in day after day and order with these goofy names.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I also wanted to point out that Fizz does Monster energy drinks. Some places will have a designated energy drink, like... The, like, Swig has its own brand of energy
drink. It's like
drink,
Reviver or
yeah,
something?
Yeah,
Reviver.
It's like a mix-in they do that has extreme amounts of caffeine.
Yeah.
It's like their energy drink.
Right, but like a Fizz or like the Splash did a couple different types of energy drinks that were like just like you could go buy them at the gas station if you wanted. I think the concept of like, I don't know why it trips me up so much. I guess I did go to Sonic a lot as a high schooler to get little treats. But I feel like the idea of a little treat has become so much more, and maybe it's just because of how old we are, but like, I'm going to spend a little $5 on a treat. Yeah. I feel like it's such a big thing. And I feel like soda shops really just like play into that market so perfectly.
They fit the need.
The sweet treat. For a sweet treat.
That's a phenomenon right now. It's like my sweet treat outfit. It's sweet treat hour. You know, I'm going to get my little reward, a sweet treat, you know?
Yeah.
Soda shops. And the nice thing about, I think the pretzel thing filled the, like, the savory aspect of it too. Because mm-hmm. I think the idea of a, you know, a 32-ounce Mountain Dew drink and mm-hmm. then a nice sugar cookie to top that off, it can sound a little migraine-inducing.
I think so, I did have a headache after our soda expedition.
Yeah, oh, my body shut down.
Oh, for sure.
Full, straight up.
If you were wondering if it's a good idea to start your morning off with an empty stomach and 64 ounces of soda or high amounts of caffeine, the answer is no. We have living evidence.
Barely living evidence.
Quaking, shaking, trembling evidence.
Crying, throwing up.
Screaming, crying, throwing up. Having to all
don't
do
it.
Things afterwards.
Yeah. Would not recommend. But we did it for you guys.
Anything
and for research.
For
Next on our little soda route, which was my personal favorite soda shop, not biased, was definitely Sodalicious, I would say. I do remember that because I think the best drink I had was from Sodalicious.
I remember you really liked the Sodalicious drink.
I know.
What did you get? I got a pool boy,
which was like, it's like the names were slightly better, except for, I guess, the Your Mom drink. That's Sodalicious. But I really liked my drink. It was like half and half in Mountain Dew and something else. Oh, it was coconut. I'm a coconut stan, I would have to say.
It looked funky crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Half and half in a soda always will make you
For non-Utah listeners, if that even exists for this very niche podcast episode. half and half in soda in any carbonated drink, really. It doesn't look good. It looks good for a second and then it like curdles.
Yeah.
We started doing right before I quit my barista job, we started doing flavored Red Bulls and we would occasionally put half and half in them. And it was literally like we'd have clear cups. No, yeah, terrible.
I think that's why most of the shops do styrofoam cups.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first swig we went to had clear cups, and I feel like that influenced my perception of the drink because I liked my second swig drink
better,
even though it was the same except for a smaller size. But the cup at that one was opaque.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look as good when you can actually see it.
Yeah, because you were getting like the raspberry puree drink, right?
Yeah, I always get the
puree also looks really wacky. It has half and half and puree.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. But it tastes so good.
Well, no. It tastes amazing. I wasn't yakking it, the idea of it, but it doesn't look nice.
Sodalicious was my favorite, too. And I kind of had a feeling going in that it would be.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not trying to slander Swig, but I do think that Swig, like, if I were given a choice between these six, Swig would probably be 5 and 6 for me.
Yeah, I would say so, too. I just, like, they were kind of just whatever for me.
If they brought back the chai drink, they'd be number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's been like 8 years since they ordered it. So
I'm going to be honest. Same. I had like a very basic drink order. It was the Diet Coke with lime. And like, I don't like to, it's embarrassing, but this is embarrassing for me. I'm a big Diet Coke snob. Okay. And they just, You can tell when the Diet Coke's not as good, and Swig's Diet Coke was not doing it for me. Splash's Diet Coke was better. Shout out Splash.
There is something to be said about a fountain drink versus a canned drink.
Mm-hmm. I will say that.
I, at this point in my life, if I want soda, will definitely go out and try and get soda, not in a can. You know what was the biggest crime for me? I've brought up Baja Blast like 5 times in this episode, but they released Baja Blast in cans and you could only get it in fountain for like the longest time. Mm-hmm. And the cans were so bad. And I think it's partially because like the syrup ratio was different.
No, like, there's an art to making a good fountain drink because mm-hmm. like you have to have your carbonation levels all right. You have to have your syrup levels right. And you as the, you know, the potion master have total control. And that's why different fountain drinks taste different places. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of room to mess up. Do it really well. That's why McDonald's is like awesome.
Even at the Union Food Court, the Dr. Pepper from the Union Food Court tastes different from the Dr. Pepper at the Panda, and they're like you can see them from each other.
That's so
funny. I would rather go to the Union Food Court than the Panda Express. But it's usually closed when I'm there.
But yeah, I would say overall, best drink experience was at So Delicious.
Yes, So Delicious did not have pretzels, though. Mm-hmm. They do have cookies and, like, Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah.
Which I've had before, and they're like, fine. I'm not a big, like, sugar cookie or Rice Krispie treat person, so
I'm
kind of neutral on them. I haven't had them from all the locations, but...
Yeah.
It's not like I go out for a cookie from So Delicious.
Yeah.
I will go out for a Dr. Pepper from So Delicious, though.
Yeah. That's all I really have to say about So Delicious. Mm-hmm. It was my favorite. Our last shop, though, definitely had the best pretzels.
By far.
On the list of rankings, I don't have a rank next to it. All I have next to the pretzels is Slay in all caps.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Yeah,
it's true. That is Slay. Truly, it was beyond numbers.
We devoured those in 4 seconds.
Yeah. I don't even know if we finished all the other pretzels that we got, because the other ones were either like slimy or
radioactive.
So dense that they were like not enjoyable to eat.
Mm-hmm. I did end up eating some of the more like mid pretzels just because I was getting like, you know, like when you have so much caffeine, you start feeling like cold, sweaty.
Yeah.
Weird.
Marco's like, I don't know what you mean.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
That was me. Well. You get it? Yeah. fellow baristas or caffeine makers relate to this, because when I was working at Boston's, I would like have that much caffeine every single shift. but like I would just end up like eating, I ended up eating pretzels just to like...
Just to, you know, get a little food in your system.
Exactly. Yeah. But Thirst, kind of the scariest building low-key. I would say the Thirst buildings are scary.
Yeah, absolutely. They have kind of a vibe about them. I think it makes the drinks taste better, though. There's kind of a, it's kind of a charm. It's kind of a...
I've been to multiple Thirst locations, though, and they all have that same,
same vibe.
They've got, like, a Pete Davidson riz to them, you know what I'm saying?
That sums it up really, really wonderfully. That was very good.
I also wanted to note that Thirst drinks had, like, the second worst soda names, but for different reasons than the other ones.
Mine is called Dr. McCreamy there, and every time I see it, I'm like,
Dr. McEel.
Dr. McCreamy.
Yeah. Was this the Frat Star one?
Yes. That was Frat Star.
Oh, yeah, that was in your drink.
Oh, you can also get a children's-sized energy drink at...
Most of the places, the smallest energy drink was a 24 ounce.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they want to give you the whole can of Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fun fact, their founder went to the University of Utah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What?
La 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 la.
That was the rounding. That was the end of our trip. We almost went to a seventh.
Which one?
It was
Pop. Man, you guys, I don't think we'd be here recording this episode if we had that stuff.
That's why we didn't do it.
I think we should kind of give a sense of how we were feeling at the end of that, like, what six sodas does to an MF sort of thing.
So true.
Because another little side story for the masses. I used to work as a lifeguard when I was from 15 to 18. Mm-hmm. And there was this couple that worked at the pool, married couple. They were like in their 30s, and they would bring in a gallon of Mountain Dew to share every day.
Let's reiterate. Gallon.
Gallon.
It's a gallon.
Like,
wait, they shared a gallon of Mountain Dew every day?
Yeah.
God.
Oh, and sometimes they'd like kind of refill it. And I mean, like,
what,
you know, like
water?
Half refill it. Like, we had a plaid pantry, regional convenience store. Mentioned.
You need to go to Oregon.
You need to go. But they would, like, sometimes they'd get more. And I, you know, I thought maybe I could understand by drinking six Mountain Dew drinks, like, what the hype was. Cause,
and figure it out for yourself.
Man, 3 a.m. Baja Blast really hits, for sure. But, like, I, at the end of that trip, I was shaking. I was crying. I wasn't throwing up, but I felt like I could throw up if I had another sip of soda.
I was certainly seeing things that weren't there.
There were some demons being seen, some demons being faced.
And I'll tell you what, I've got a pretty decent caffeine tolerance, okay? Like, it's never been a thing for me, mm-hmm. but I sure saw, I don't know, I saw a new side of myself that day I'd like to not revisit. I think it was the empty stomach in the early morning.
Yeah, I think that was part of it.
Yeah, imagine, if you will, us finishing this trip broad daylight. Like, yeah, it's literally. Not even like the sun.
Even,
it was
even noon.
It was like 10 o'clock.
It's sort of like, imagine being hungover.
Yeah.
Immediately upon ingesting the drink. And yeah. Also, the light is up. And you still have to go to work.
Literally.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Imagine your skeleton vibrating because your body is rejecting it. Your skeleton's going to hatch, and inside, energy drinks.
I just...
Haunting.
Like, I had never drank soda that early in the morning before. And I was like, okay, maybe this experience will, like... I'll understand the hype, you know, of, like, why people will do this and go super early in the morning. And no, I still don't get it, because the minute that soda like hit my stomach, I was like, you know?
No, it was crazy.
It was crazy.
That was not a good idea.
I think, well, like, it's just very interesting to me that, like, because it's big with like the LDS population of Utah to go get sodas that early in the morning. I feel like I just don't understand, like, why not just have a little coffee or a little tea in the morning?
Can we have a little discourse about this?
Let's have a little discourse.
I'd like to understand it myself, okay? Because...
Oh, laptop is closed.
I am someone who grew up around this a long time, as previously stated. I'm sorry if you're sick of hearing that. But I'm kind of going, what's worse, okay? 44 ounces of carbonated foreign liquid that your body... that's made of chemicals... for a fraction of the caffeine you would be getting from a grande coffee at Starbucks. And it's all in the name of, oh, well, we don't believe in caffeine. And I'm kind of going,
Should we ask someone this question? Should we, like, go out and ask?
Probably. I mean, my understanding is that the official writing is kind of unclear. Some people take it to mean hot drinks. Some people take it mean caffeinated drinks.
Some people take it literally hot drinks.
Yeah.
In the
like some people
scripture.
Think though that because like soda wasn't invented at the time, it should be expanded to include things like that. But it's up to individual interpretation mostly.
Actually, just put caffeinated drinks on their campus. Not that long ago, within the last, like, 5 or 10 years.
Like, including coffee or just soda?
No, just soda. But, so I'm kind of going, never mind. That's a different topic for a different day. We won't delve into that.
That feels like that's something that we could delve into. But
that's another can of worms for now.
I think Utah is just such a perfect place for this phenomenon to occur. Because, number one, you've got a very large population. A little under half of the state, if you trust the church's numbers, because they do include, like, people who are not actively in the church. They're just, like, by records. A little under half of the state does not drink caffeine. Sweet treats, amazing. I don't know if you've ever, like, been around Mormon people, but they love their little sweet treats. So something like a soda shop, you take that anywhere else in the country to, like, start off with, would not work as well. Mm-hmm. It's just the perfect little, like, bubble, little petri dish.
It's like, petri dish is a good, it's a little heat lamp.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's a, what do you call that? An incubator?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know any other professional, like, NBA team that has a soda shop as their, like, sponsor.
But it is expanding. Like, I know we've already said that, but, like, people who have nothing to do with the church are like, there was a couple from New York who was here on business, and they came through the drive-thru of the place that I work, and they were like, what's good here? What do I get? I never have soda. And I was like, they're like, well, what's your smallest size? And I told them a 16 ounce. And they were like, that big? Like, that's so much soda. And it was after I had just given a lady her second 44 ounce of Diet Coke for the day. And I'm kind of going, wow, like, this is crazy. But they ended up trying it, and they really liked it. And it was interesting.
People just love making little potions, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it. Because, like, if you're not, like, chronically online like me, maybe you haven't seen it, but, like, the Water Talk stuff, same concept, just instead of a soda base, you use water. And they do, like, a million powders and syrups and potion, potion-esque behavior.
Yeah. It is potion-esque behavior.
Wizard-esque behavior.
And then we put the Diet Coke with the coconuts and the lime.
I use three packets of Nerds powder
and powder of,
and 40 pumps of the syrup.
Yeah.
and the Monster Energy drink and the radioactive pomegranate.
Literally.
And that was delightful. I can't tell you about that. If you ever can order a Monster Energy drink, it has to be Monster Ultra, because that's, I think, what made it so neon, because it's the white Monster.
Yeah.
Get the white Monster, put some pomegranate in there, and a little lime. Oh my gosh, I know we're gonna talk about it.
And wait for your insides to light up.
But it tasted so good.
I could see it my veins awesome. From the inside. It was like putting a flashlight in the inside of your
cheek. I made Cambria let me have so many sips of that drink, because it was so good.
It was fire.
It was real. That was my favorite drink of the day, and it wasn't even mine.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Class, what did we learn from... did we learn anything? Did we answer our question as to why?
I think we did. We talked about, like, the culture around it, like, as to why. We know why it's here. It's the culture. It's the caffeine deficiency. It's the idea of having a sweet little something around everywhere you want to go.
Right.
I'll say this, though. A little hindsight and a little time, and even years of ordering from the same 7 shops I've ordered from for a long time, they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
But if you put them all right next to each other, it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
For real. We love having fun on this podcast.
We sure do.
We love having fun. We love exploring the world, so you don't have to, listeners.
Uh-huh.
We'll drink as much soda as you want, because anything for content.
Literally. Uh-huh.
Get your pretzels from Thirst, though.
Yeah, for real.
Thirst pretzels all the way.
And they have different dipping sauces and different flavors of pretzels. They have their salt pretzels, they have butter pretzels, they have cinnamon sugar pretzels. They have
now I really want some Thirst.
They have Parmesan pretzels.
Should we go get some Thirst pretzels?
I think we should. I don't know.
All right, is there anything else anyone wants to add?
This isn't sponsored.
Not yet.
I love the Daily Utah Chronicle and all of their amazing projects that they put out. It's not just audio. Crazy shocker. It's also articles.
That's so true. I would like to thank Cambria for allowing me to live my dream of comparing 6 different sodas all in one day and not having to, well, and getting reimbursed for it. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
I also would like to, I interrupted you.
Oh, it's okay. I was just saying, I was smiling the whole time.
You were smiling. Margo was literally ear to ear the whole time. She was in the driver's seat. We will have another Diet Coke. It was so awesome.
It was my dream.
Then we made it happen.
I love the things you get excited by. It makes me so happy. Margo,
like my George
Margo's
Michael
a simple one. She loves George. She loves George Michael. She loves podcasting.
Now she loves Wikipedia.
She loves Wikipedia. She loves copy editing.
I'm nothing if not predictable.
No.
She loves a little Dr. Pepper.
The best, most endearing person you'll ever meet.
She loves
true. We love our energy.
We do. Yeah. We do.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a great time.
No, wait. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Tune in next time for another
Can of Worms.
Love ya.
Row your boat. Gently down the soda stream. Fizzly, 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 fizzly. Life is but a really caffeinated dream.
Okay, I'm keeping that in because that sounded awesome.
If you thought that was corny, I don't want to hear it.